So one day late last October, I was out for my morning walk. I was wrestling with a lot of stuff. I was feeling bewildered and angry and really, really sad because my husband had recently asked me for a divorce. I spent a lot of time last fall walking, staying in motion, right? Because to be still was to allow all of those emotions to catch up with me. And so on this particular day in October, the leaves had lost their green. The air was cool but very, very still, and the lake called to me. And so I walked to a place that I go often, where I can sit next to the lake under a few trees whose branches hang over me and over the lake. And I can watch the birds gather, and I can watch the water move. And I can be reminded that I'm just one little strand of the web of interconnection that holds all of life and all of the things that support life. The air was calm, and so was the water, with this smooth surface that I could have seen my reflection in if I had leaned over to look. And so there I was, sitting next to the lake, bewildered and angry and sad. And I opened my mouth and I started to talk. I was alone. And then to shout, as if there was someone there to hear, someone who had more control over my situation than I had. I was indignant. I was furious at the lonely and scary place I'd been put. And so I shouted toward the lake, "Really? Really? What is this supposed to be for? Why is this happening? What am I supposed to learn from this?" And a leaf fell from the tree above and landed on the water. And it made ripples on the surface, right? You know what I'm talking about, that moved out in these concentric circles. And I looked at the ripples. And I thought about how I've invited people to drop stones into bowls of water in ritual, to remind ourselves of the ripples that we make as we move through our lives and their impact on others. I know that lesson really well. I base my theology on that lesson, the fact that we are all connected and everything we do pulls on that web in some way that affects those around us. And so I shouted, "Come on, I know that!" "Really?" And another leaf floated down and hit the water and made another set of these ripple rings. And I shouted, "Seriously? Is that the best you can do? This is killing me. And for what? What can this possibly teach me that I don't already know?" You'll never guess what happened then. Another leaf came down, landed on the water, made more ripples, and I kind of lost it for a couple of minutes, shaking my fist, making these incoherent sounds, tears of frustration and rage running down my face. And then I realized what I was doing. I was yelling at God. Because I knew that this was not where I was supposed to be. This is something I can't really explain. I don't believe in that God, the one I've heard people say they have a personal relationship with. I don't believe there's some great presence up there outside of us humans who listens to us when we need them to. I certainly don't believe there's a power that can be moved to change our circumstances if we just ask the right way. Usually, when I use the word God, I'm talking about this energy that arises between us and within us when we enter into relationship with our surroundings or with each other and that focuses on making that relationship and on making it the best it can be. But I do understand what I was doing, reaching out into the unknown to look for something that had the answer to this question of how I could possibly be where I was. Looking to make sense of this huge difference between the reality of the moment and where I thought I was supposed to be. This was unlike anything I've ever experienced. What do you think of when you hear the words, where you're supposed to be? Do you think of where you are at this moment, in this breath? Or do you think of missed opportunities, loving when you should be reading? Or what might be if only this were different, or if this person hadn't done that, or what you could have accomplished, or what you could have done if only you hadn't had to do this other thing instead, or what you might have learned if you hadn't chosen to go to that thing. The Chinese philosopher Confucius said, "Wherever you go, go with all your heart." And the poet Sarah Kay said, "I spend most of my time wondering if I should be somewhere else. So I have learned to shape the words, thank you, with my first breath each morning, my last breath every night." It has taken me until now to discover what the lessons of those leaves and those ripples might be. And it will take me the rest of my life to live them out consistently, because those answers are not a quick fix. Like every human that I know, I want agency. I want to be able to have control over what happens in my life. There's great comfort in the illusion that I have that control. And so the lessons of those leaves falling so very randomly and yet in perfect rhythm with the questions I was shouting into the mystery of the unknown were the lessons I offer to others all the time, right there in my face, just for me. Openness to the possibility that I don't actually know everything, even about where I'm supposed to be. Courage to admit that I might not be in control. Humility. Willingness to go with the flow, even when, no, especially when, that flow carries me far from where I think I'm supposed to be. It's less about where I am at any given point in my life than it is about being in it, wherever I am. It's about knowing that where I'm supposed to be is where I am. It's about going with all my heart. And so a practice that Sarah Kay has taught me is helping me with this. I try to start my day by telling myself and telling my day, that I'm grateful it's about to begin. My little idea. And I intentionally think to myself, this is where I'm supposed to be. Sometimes, in my new apartment, where I wake up alone half my days, this is hard to believe. And so, I don't just say that. I also try to listen. Not like that October day when I utterly refused to listen and argued and insisted that I knew better. I try to listen for what happens in my heart when I say, this is where I'm supposed to be. Sometimes there is joy in that listening, finally. And sometimes there is pain in it, so much so that it shuts down the process of gratitude. And sometimes I'm able to understand that there's a lesson for me in that pain, too, which has turned out to be about seeing and having compassion for the pain of others. And I try to remember what I heard in my heart. And I try to continue to listen throughout the day as I'm out taking that walk in the morning, as I engage in my yoga practice, as I interact with people. And then I try to end my day with that thank you. Or if gratitude is unattainable at the moment, which it sometimes is, I at least try to sit with what it meant to be where I was supposed to be that day. Don't get me wrong. I don't believe there's a path cut out for each of us, right? That this is where we're supposed to be and that's the only way. That's Calvinism. or that if we're in difficult or dangerous situations, we shouldn't work to get out of them, right? This isn't about blind acceptance. There's choice here, and there's the possibility of action. If we're in a place of pain or harm, we shouldn't be staying complacently in that place trying to learn from it. And it feels like utter hubris to say to an immigrant crossing the desert, or to a victim of our prison system, or to a person who's grown up in poverty, that they just need to listen to what their heart tells them about their situation. But at the same time, I think there's something to be said for the necessity of acceptance of one's location. Because movement has to start from somewhere. The American Buddhist Pema Chodron says, start where you are. And knowing where we are is just the beginning, right? I may not have control over where I found myself back in October, but it was where I was, and it was where I had to start. And I do have choices about how I feel about it and what I do about it. And so there's implications for groups and for systems and for congregations as well, right? What do we hear in our hearts when we say of our congregation, this is where we're supposed to be? What do we have here to be grateful for? I want to invite you to sit with that question for a moment. And then if you're so moved, speak aloud a word or a phrase of thanks for what bubbles up. This is the space that we make sacred together. And this is where we are supposed to be. Blessed be.